come to you, and I thank you that you are great and glorious. No matter what plan, A, B, C, if we get to Z, I thank you that you have plans, and I thank you, Father. Today you have drawn these people here. You have drawn these wonderful people here today. It is not by chance, Father. You have spoken, and they have heard, and they are here for a reason, and I declare that they have ears to hear, eyes to see. And Father, there is words today that is going to pop and drop into your hearts for encouragement and direction, and we will walk mighty before you in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, praise the Lord. Today I'm going to talk about Jonah. Raise your hand if you've ever heard the story of Jonah. Okay, you know, Jonah and the whale, fish, whatever you want to call it. And he gets swallowed up. Okay, so y'all know that. And really, there's a whole lot of stuff going on. And actually, Jonah has four chapters. Four little chapters, and there's a whole lot of stuff. And we're going to talk about some of that stuff today happened to Jonah and actually that can happen in our life. So the title of the message, if you're taking notes, is called The Jonah in All of Us. The Jonah in All of Us. That's my title. Because all of us have some of these characteristics that Jonah had. Yep. So we're going to kind of talk about that. And sometimes the things that happened to Jonah kind of happen to our life daily. So we're going to go looking at that now. So if you open up to Jonah chapter 1, while you're getting there, how many of you have ever gone fishing? Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. Okay, good. How many of you have ever heard somebody tell a fish story and it gets big and big and bigger? Yeah. Okay. I've listened to some guys. How many of you remember 1975, the movie Jaws? Okay. Jaws. All right. I actually remember that. It came out in the summer. Of course. You talk about strategic. Let's not put it out at Christmas time. Jaws came out in the summer. I worked as a lifeguard in a complex of 3,000 people, 24 lifeguards, and we all pack out the movie theater one night to go see Jaws. And I want to tell you, it left a lasting impression. Me, the ocean, and fish. Okay, just a little different here. Okay, but really seriously, let's think about Jonah. Think about Jonah. How big of a fish do you think it was that could swallow him? A fish that could swallow him and he would be in there for quite a few days and still be alive. You ever think about how big that fish must have been? Those are things that keep me awake at night. And then, or better yet, I'll go Google, how big of a fish? And by the way, it's probably a white, great white shark. Okay. That's what Google says. So anyway, let's read. Here we go. Jonah chapter 1, verses 1, 2, and 3. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai. Go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah ran away. Okay, whenever I read Jonah, you know what I think of? Sorry, little thing. VeggieTales. Everybody know the story, the VeggieTales from Jonah? If you're a grandma or a mom and dad or grandpa, you probably are like, man, I've heard this thing 100 times, right? Dear Lord, if they put that on one more time. But I'm sorry, that's what I start reading that and I start doing the VeggieTale dance. So, but let me give you a little background, the serious stuff, not the VeggieTales. Okay, let me give you a little background so you understand some of this. Jonah was called the reluctant prophet. Yep. That was pretty accurate, right? If you've read the story of Jonah, he was pretty reluctant. So he's called the reluctant. His name, Jonah, literally means dove. And Amittai means truth. So those are pretty good things as opposed to last week when we talked about Jacob, right? That was not a good name to have, all right? Nineveh was this huge city, and it was 18 miles long by 14 miles wide, a total of 55 miles in circumference. That's actually really big. And Nineveh is a city, a huge city in the nation of Assyria. And the Assyrians and the Ninevites, the Assyrians, they were Israel's, one of their worst enemies. They were the enemy. Okay, everybody say enemy. All right. And God told Jonah, I want you to go into the heart of the enemy's camp. And we're all going, yay. Okay, not really. Because the interesting thing is God goes, hey, Jonah, I want you to go and do something for me. Right? Go, Joe, do something. I want you to go and I want you to preach in the city of Nineveh. And what does Jonah say? No way, Jose. No, I'm not going to do that, right? That's the first part of the thing. Okay. Now, guys, I know that God has something for you all to do in life. Okay. May not be preached to the city of Nineveh, but God has some things that he wants all of us to do. God has things he wants all of us to do. He doesn't, okay, some of you are thinking, well, I don't think God has anything for me to do. Well, all right, maybe go to work, take care of my family. Oh, and come to church. Okay, no, I want to tell you something. He has things for you to do in life. He has plans for you in your life. So write that down. God has plans for me. God has plans for me. And we're going to talk about it because you are either going to be walking towards God or you're going to be walking away from God. You're either going to be walking towards God or you're going to be walking away from God. All right. And hopefully you're all running towards God and not away from him. So you might be here and go, well, Pastor D, if I were to be really honest with you, I've been running away from God. Well, today is the place you're supposed to be because we're going to talk about that. And other of you might be saying, Pastor D, I've been running hard after God. I love God with all my life. Well, good. This is still a good message for you. So let me give you a little bit more of the backdrop story on Jonah, some more things. Jonah is called, he's an 8th century prophet. He's a prophet. Some of you, you're going, well, what the heck is a prophet? Well, in the Old Testament, the prophets had the ears to God. God only spoke to the kings and the prophets, right? So God would download only to kings and prophets. So God was talking to prophets, and as he talks to them, he'd go tell everybody else what God wanted them to know. Okay, now we have this thing going on. This is pretty fantastic. But back then, a prophet, was happening, all right? Now, if you read some of the Old Testament prophets and even John the Baptist, some of them are a little scary. Think about John the Baptist. The guy went and ate locusts, gross, bugs, steady diet. Okay? How many of you have a steady diet of bugs? Steady. Okay, if not, I think I'm just going to read, you know, usually read the nutritional value, okay? Maybe you know something we don't. But listen, he was doing this. And listen, I am not going to eat him. I don't care. Where were we traveling? Oh, I think I was in high school and some kid comes up with the bugs that are dipped in chocolate. No. How many of you ate those? What would Gail? My goodness. Kurt, all right. Not me. Still didn't do that. Okay, so here you have this kind of weird guy going on, and he's also kind of gruff. Look at, you know, he's got this camel's hair, and I kept thinking as I read a little bit about John the Baptist, and I'm going, I don't think if I met him in a dark corner at the night, I'd be going, oh, I'm out of here, all right? So a lot of the Old Testament prophets, they're just kind of scary. But then we have Jonah. Jonah's a prophet. He's actually a celebrity prophet. Jonah's sort of a celebrity prophet because if you read in 2 Kings, God downloaded to Jonah the prophet to prophesy to Israel. Okay, and he prophesied and he said, hey, Israel, you're going to expand your borders. You're going to be prosperous and all these great things are going to happen. Now, that's one of those happy messages from the prophet, right? And guess what? It happened. Everything that God downloaded to Jonah and Jonah spoke out over Israel, those things happened. So he's the celebrity prophet. So everybody liked him. And when Jonah would show up, they're like, oh, yay, Jonah's here. Happy, 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 right? That's a little bit of background about Jonah. And then one day God comes to Jonah and he says, Jonah, I want you to do something for me. I want you to do something different than you usually do for me. Now, what was he usually? He was sort of the celebrity, the good news prophet. Okay, so this time God says, hey, I want you to do something different. AKA, I want you to change. All right, how many of you love change? Nobody raised their hand. No, I really do. I don't like change, okay? And how many of you like it when the Lord requires us to change? Okay, nobody's usually jumping up and down. Goody, 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 God wants me to change. Most of us don't do that. As a matter of fact, let's be honest. I've always fought and kicked and yelled at God. I don't want to do this, okay? How many of you, I've done this before. One time Jack went away to the mountains and I rearranged the furniture in the living room. And he came home and he's like, he's having a cow. I don't like it. Put it back. I don't like the way you changed everything. Okay. So what happens when God says, hey, this is what you've been doing in life. Now I want you to do something different. Okay. And a lot of times this is what happens. And this is me, be honest. A lot of times when God asks me to change, do something different, I'm sorry, my head usually gets into fear. It does. Okay. And the other thing that happens to all of us most of the time, and me, is God's asking me to change and do this. And I go, I'm out of here. Run, Forrest, run. Run, Forrest, run. I'm running. I'm running away from what God tells me to do. Okay, anybody else ever run? Just me. So today, I'm going to give you four things about how Jonah handled it and sort of the things that we do too. Okay, so these are four things about Jonah and AKA us. Four things about Jonah and us. Because I really, as I studied this, the things that Jonah went through, I'm telling you guys, I was reading my mail and I was reading your mail. There are a lot of times the things that we go through, okay? They're the things that we go through. So number one, if you're taking notes, because you're all so smart and you're going to study this, all right? And I didn't give you a handout this day. Four things. Number one, not everything God asks you to do, not everything that God asks you to do is what you want to do. Not everything that God asks you to do is what you want to do, okay? Now, how many of you found that out? God asks you to do something and you're like, oh, are you kidding? Okay? And then, listen, I'm not talking about crazy things. I'm just talking about simple things like, who would like to volunteer and be in the nursery? Who would like to volunteer and cut the lawn? Those aren't crazy things. Who wants to, Lane's back there going, and work it, and help out in the sound booth, all right? So I'm not talking about crazy things like, you know, crazy things, okay? Now, I have to tell you a story. I remember when I first accepted Jesus, and we went to a really great church up at Penn State. It was an Assemblies of God. Sweet pastor. And very often, he would have a member of the congregation come up and tell their story. AKA testimony, right? They give their testimony. And I'd hear this a lot. Some guy would get up and say, I've been running from God for 20 years because I thought God was going to call me to be a missionary in India. And I thought, why didn't you just say yes? Yes to the dress, right? Why didn't you say yes? Because I'm thinking, you know, to live in the United States and not be in the place that God wants me to be is plain old miserable. As compared to living in India in the place, in the plan that God has for me. That's thumbs up. So I'd hear these testimonies. I go, why did you say yes? Come on. In the place that God wants you is the best place, right? So praise the Lord. You know what I also found out? When you're in the place that God wants you to be, there's blessings. There's blessings. And, you know, sometimes we think it's money. No, no, no. Blessings like peace. Just life goes well. Blessings. And when you're not, there's not a whole lot of blessings. When you're not in the place that God called you, I found out there's not a whole lot of blessings. And this is sort of what happens. This is definitely what happens to Jonah. So usually what we have is God's going, hey, Dee, I have this something I want you to do. I have this plan that I want you to do. And I start running the other way. I start running the way and I try to hide. Anybody ever hide? Hide being busy? Hide doing something else? Hide in front of the TV forever? Okay. And you know what? You can run as fast as you want. You can hide in doing this and that. But God's always finds you, doesn't he? God knows where you are, doesn't he? Yeah. It's like this little kid hiding in the closet. You're going to go, what, are you kidding me? So that's what happened to Jonah. So let's read verse 2. Here we go. Verse 2. This is the Lord that's speaking to Jonah, and he says, go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me. Now, I was sort of thinking about this. I thought, wow, that's interesting. How many people would say, oh man, that's what I want to do. I want to go to the city where everybody's wicked and tell them, you're wicked. You live a wicked life. I just want to be the person that does that. Man, just, you know, okay, personally, okay, should I say this, Lord? Nope, he said, don't tell, okay. That's my personal opinion. Okay, so, guys, this scripture and preaching about the wickedness is old covenant, right? And we are living under a new covenant. Jesus says, I'm giving you a new and better covenant. Right? So we're living under a new covenant, and Jesus died on the cross. He was raised from the dead, and God sent grace to the earth. Jesus was grace, and grace works totally different from the law. The law says, you blew it, you're condemned, you're doing a bad job, and you better keep trying hard. Grace says, you're forgiven. I'm going to help you. I'm going to lift you up. I'm going to encourage. So we got grace over here, totally different than the law. So how many buddy would raise your hand for grace? How many buddy likes law? Right. Good. We don't. Okay. So here's my question. What are you currently in your life, currently running away from that God wants you to do? What are you running away from that God wants you to do? Close your eyes for a second. What are you currently doing in your life where you're running away, you're staying away, you're running away from, and God says, I don't want you to do that. I want you to do that. This. Okay. All right. Open your eyes. Punch the person next to you. Here we go. Guys, God has a plan for everybody in this place. God has a plan for everybody in this place, all right? So you might be saying, just recently I ran into this person, actually Facebook friend, and got to talking to her later on. God had been stirring in her heart to start a business. God had been stirring in her heart to start this business, and he's just putting it in her. And she would be putting it off and putting it off and putting it off. Or how about, let's just make this one up. God's been placing into your heart, just talking to you about going back to school. Okay? And he told you to go back to school because he has some things he wants you to do all the way over there. And you're going to need to go back to school to get the training so you can do the plans of God. And you're like, oh, gosh, you know, I don't think I'm going to do it. So you go running or you go hiding, all right? Anybody ever have some plans that you know God's been putting in your heart? Don't raise your hand. God's put in your heart and you're like, you're not doing it? Okay, so second question, here we go. What's this going to take for you to do the plan that God's been talking to you about? What's it going to take for you to do the thing that God's stirring in your heart? You know, come on, you know, what's it going to take? Now, I love it when people say, but Pastor D, you don't understand. I'm kind of old now, not like all those young people that Pastor Sherry has. I'm kind of old. And you know, Pastor D, I've got responsibilities. You know, I'm just kind of old. You know, this is what I love about God. He doesn't care how old you are. He doesn't care how young you are. He doesn't care how fat you are, how skinny you are, how smart you are, how dumb you are. He doesn't care, right? He doesn't care. And you know what? When I read my Bible, especially you go through the Old Testament, he used a whole bunch of old guys. Yay for old guys. And he used a whole bunch of really young folk. He had a king that was 7 years old. He had David, who was a teenager. Okay? So we're giving God our excuses, all right? Listen, I'm telling you, all God is looking for, would you be willing? Would you be willing to do the things I've asked you to do? Everybody said, yes, Pastor D, praise the Lord, I'm willing. All right. Number two thing that Jonah did, and sometimes we can get sucked into it too. Ready? Number two, you can always find a boat that's sailing in the wrong direction. You can always find a boat that's sailing in the wrong direction. You can always find something that's going on that's going to get you in the wrong direction. Okay? You can always find something that's going on, a boat that you're going to get into. It's going to take you in the wrong direction. Shoo. All right. Jonah chapter 1 verse 3. But Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed to Tarshish. He went down to Joppa where he found a ship bound for that port after paying, underline that, paying the fare. Chink, he reached in his pocket, he paid, okay? After paying for the fare, he went aboard and sailed for Tarshish to flee from the Lord. Okay. How many of you would pay money to run away from God? How many of you have reached in your pockets and have paid money to not do the plans of God? Well, I'm going to tell you a story. Right after I received Jesus, I had these things come in my life. Circumstances. How about boats that were coming into my life, and they were going to take me in the wrong direction. And I'm telling you, some of you might be in a boat going the wrong direction. Okay, but I'm going to tell you about my boat story. So I'm getting ready to graduate college. It's my senior year. I'm an elementary ed major, and I'm doing the application thing. And one of my best friends was an el-ed major with me. And just got to be great friends. And we're like, oh, okay, where are we going to get a job? And we're filling applications. And she says, hey, back where I come from, my aunt works with the superintendent of schools. And I bet that we can go get jobs. I was like, yes. So I go home with her for a weekend. And we meet the family. And the aunt. And we just have a great old time. And you can just tell it's going good. And she says, hey, just send me up your applications. They usually hit my desk and then they'll be reviewed. Send me your application. I was like, hot dog, I get a job. This is great. Because I've been a poor college student for poor too long, like 4 years long. All right, so I'm doing that. So we drive back. It's about a 7-hour drive from my friend's, her hometown. We drive back and I'm in the car. And I felt in my heart, that was not what I was supposed to do. And I'm having this, the conversation with God. But God, I'm going to have a job. I can pay off my college loan. God, I'm going to have an income. God, I can finally buy a car. I didn't even have a car my senior year in college. I still was working on it. But I'm getting quiet and I'm going, God, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? And you know what? That was the wrong direction. But listen, guys, if I had decided to do that, I'm pretty sure I wouldn't be here today. All right. There'd be no Jack. There'd be no Bible school. There'd be no YCF. I'm pretty sure I would not be here if I would have taken that job. So we're talking about getting on another ship and going the wrong way. We're talking about getting on another ship and going the wrong way. Give you one more story. Jack and I have spent 3 years in Tulsa, Oklahoma at Rhema Bible Training Center. He went for two. I went for one. In that 3 years, we volunteered at our church. We did it. I worked in the foyer handing out things. We did it all. We helped volunteer, and it was just a lot of fun meeting people. They also had a Christian school there, about 500 kids, and I got to teach my first 2 years there, and then my third year I went to school. So I'm teaching there. We know people there. We actually know the pastors there. I've been on conferences with them, so this is what's going on in our life. And one day we're driving down one of the main drags. We're driving down the road, and I look out my corner and go, there's Pastor Buddy in the car right next to us. That's so cool. We're all waving. So we pull up to this red light, and he motions, pull down your window. So we're at the red light, and he shouts out, call my office Monday and make an appointment. I want to see you. So how many of you are like, oh no, what'd I do wrong? Okay, I'm getting renewed in that. So we call the office, talk to a secretary, Jeannie, and she sets up an appointment. But it took about a week till we finally got in there. And he says, hey, Jack and Dee, we've got some change going on at church, and I want you guys to be our junior high pastor and then be our youth pastor later. I was like, whoa, what an honor. Pastor Buddy asked us to do this. Okay, so, and then I'm thinking, okay, so we say goodbye, hugs, and we'll get back to you. We'll pray. Come on, we never say we'll get back to you because we're so spiritual. I'll have to pray about it, Pastor Buddy. He's so cute. Yeah, you guys go home and pray about it. So we're praying about it, and man, all these things are going on. I thought, wow, we will have two full-time salaries for the first time since we've been married. Woo-hoo-hoo! Okay. And I'm thinking about, gosh, if we take this job, the money, if we take this job, we get to stay at our church. I loved my church in Tulsa. Just love the people. I love my pastor. And my friends were all there. So we're praying about it. And I'm telling you, it wasn't but the next night, Jack and I spent some time praying. And I look, I go, what are you hearing? He goes, what are you hearing? I said, no, you go first. You tell me. He's like, you go first. So finally I said, you know what, Jack? I'm hearing we're not supposed to do that. We're not supposed to do that. And I believe that that would have been getting in the wrong boat for our plans, God's plans for our life. And that would have put us in the wrong direction. Okay. Now in my head, that was the boat. But when I got quiet, I heard God, both of us just knew that was the wrong boat. And we were supposed to get in the boat that took us back to York, Pennsylvania. And when we got in that boat, we got in the boat. We didn't have any jobs even when we got in that boat to come back. But we knew that was the right boat. Okay. So I always think about the money you pay to get in the wrong boat to go the wrong direction. All right. So, and listen, I can tell you story after story where you pay, you do stuff to get in the wrong boat, to go in the wrong place, not the place that God has for you. And actually what happens? You run from God. You get in that boat, you're running from God. So write this down. Here we go. Sometimes it sounds like great plans. You know those great plans? I really thought that boat was a great plan. I really did. So sometimes we get in there like, this happened to a friend of mine. They came to us, Jack and I, and said, hey, this is what's opened up for me. It's a promotion with a different company, and it means I'm going to leave town. Now, me always says, no, that's not God, because I want to keep you guys forever. I have a hard time letting you go, okay? But that time I knew that gentleman was going to take a job that was going to take him to a different city. I knew that was the wrong boat. And I also watched his life not turn out well. Or not that, you know, big, bad, and dirty stuff, but it just was really rough, all right? So the thing is, I don't want to be in any other place, but smack dab in the middle of the plan God has for me. How about you guys? It's the only place I want to be. I want to be right where God wants me to be. All right. And you guys need to be there also. That's an also. Come on in. Jump in. All righty. Now, it's amazing when we think of our plans. I got a better plan. God, everybody ever tell God, I have a better plan? I have plans, God. Just in case you're off duty, I have plans. But someday your plan here and God's plan is going to collide. And you're going to have to choose whether you're going to do your plan or God's plan. Okay, your plan or God's plan, all right? And you're either going to run towards God because God's just been nudging on your heart. He's been speaking things in your life. You're going to run towards God or you're going to run away from God. And I don't want to be that one. Anybody? No, we don't want to be that one. So God always has a better plan. Praise the Lord. Turn over to Jeremiah. If not, they're going to pop this up. Lane, can you pop up Jeremiah because this is the Amplified. You got it? Oh, golly gee. So wonderful. Hey, you don't want to put me up there. They just see dials and knobs. Okay. Jeremiah, praise the Lord. I'm telling you, Jeremiah 29:11. Most of you know this. I'm going to put this up in the Amplified because this is the one time Amplified just makes it big and clear and just real good. Here you go. For I know, that's God, it's not me. God says, I know the thoughts, the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Thoughts and plans for your welfare and peace, not for evil, to give you a hope in your final outcome. I know the thoughts, the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Thoughts and plans for welfare and peace, not for evil, to give you a hope and your final outcome. All right. So in other words, God has better plans, right? Do you read that? Yeah, God has better plans for your life than you can ever cook up. I cook up so many plans. They end up in the garage and then they eventually get in the garbage can. But I cook up all these plans and God's saying, hey, I have better plans for you. Okay, now just think about this. Just think about the plan God had for Jesus. You know, God, that plan you had for Jesus, you know, I don't think it was really that great. All right? The plan that God had for Jesus was, hey, Jesus, I want you to leave heaven and go to earth. That's the God plan. And then, Jesus, I want you to die for all of mankind. I want you to die on a cross. I want you to go to hell. And I want to raise you from the dead. That's God's plan, right? That's God's plan. Okay, now you can just, Jesus gets to the point where he's in the garden praying, right? The Garden of Gethsemane before he was arrested and stuff. And he's praying and he says this, Lord, if this cup can pass from me, Lord, if this plan can pass for me, he's sort of like saying, hey, if I don't have to do this plan, that's cool. That's cool. All right. But the but is the one time the but's okay. But, God, I want your will, right? I want your will. I want your plan, not mine. You know what that looks like to me? That looks like surrender, right? That looks like surrender. And sometimes we have to surrender our life to God. We have to surrender our life for God. And sometimes when you surrender your life to God, it hurts. It doesn't feel good, okay? Sometimes you're like, oh, God, are you kidding me? Please, all right? But you know what? We surrender. We surrender. We go, God, I want your plan. Years ago when I have four little kids. They're all 2 years apart. We were the daycare. I have a degree in elementary education. After I popped out my fourth one and they're getting big, and the Lord, Jack and I had prayed, should I go back to teaching or should I stay home? And we just knew that I was going to be a stay-home mom. Okay, wait a minute, I got a degree in elementary education. But we prayed, that was the plan, and we were in agreement, and it was good. It was crazy. It was good, four kids, okay? But people would ask me, hey, D, what do you do for a living? And I'd be a little embarrassed. You know, I'm a stay-home mom. But well, wait a minute. I have to run back to the right boat, the right plan, and say, no, I got the plan from God. It's okay. And even today, today, people will come up, oh, hey, hi, what's your name? My name's Steve. What do you do? Oh, I'm a pastor. Oh, what seminary did you go to? And I get this little, I go, oh, I went to a Bible school in Oklahoma. Okay. But listen, I had to go, I had this conversation with God because it would just kind of on the inside of me. And the Lord said, Peter didn't go to no seminary. John didn't go to no seminary. Jesus didn't go to no seminary. And I'm telling you, you don't have to either. I was like, okay, I'm cool. And what he was saying is, D, this is my plan for you. Listen, guys, I think seminary is wonderful. I know some great men and women of God that have gone to it, and they could run circles around me when they start dissecting the Old Testament Greek and the Hebrew and all that stuff. But God spoke to his plan to me, and he said, you don't have to go. So, let me give you a scripture. 1 Corinthians, flip over there. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 27. Because this is the scripture that God gave me when I was like, ugh. And you know, this is the scripture. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 27. You probably all know this. God chose the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. And God chose the, okay, let's do it. God chose the foolish things of the world, and some say to confound the wise. So we got this foolish thing going on and this wise thing going on. Foolish. So I'm looking up the word foolish, and it means moron. God chose the morons. It also says Mark Fry, what do you call him? A blockhead. It says blockhead. Blockhead, morons, and stupid. Isn't that awesome? Woohoo! Praise Lord, Pastor D, okay? And this is what it settled it. If God can use a kid that had dyslexia, struggled with reading for years, and God would call me, have a plan for me, why? Because God takes the foolish things to confound the wise. And as long as you are the moron, it doesn't matter. You go in God's plan. And by the way, the Lord healed me of dyslexia. After I got saved, I'm reading like voraciously. And I was like, man, I'm not reversing numbers and letters anymore. Wonderful things happen. The only time it shows up, if I have not had any sleep, I'll call you Joe instead of Sam. I don't know. I just mix everything up. Okay. But I'm healed. Praise the Lord. All right. Number three thing about Jonah. Here we go. Number three thing about Jonah. I'm going to read Jonah 1 verse 4, and then I'll give you my little thing to write down. But Jonah chapter 1 verse 4. Then the Lord sent a great wind on the sea, and such a violent storm arose that the ship threatened to break up. Okay. God, who sent this storm? God sent this storm. It is established. God sent the storm. It was not a blessing. It was not to bless Jonah. This storm was not to bless him. Matter of fact, it was actually judgment and it was going to be fatal for Jonah if he didn't change and get in the right boat. But guys, what part of the Bible is this on? Old covenant. Okay? Old covenant. You now live under the new and better covenant, okay? Jesus redeemed us. We are not under the law. We're not under the law. We're under the covenant. And the Lord is not responsible for natural disasters anymore because we are under a new covenant. Back then, that's how we dealt with them. Aren't you glad you're in the new? Thank you. Okay, so write this down. Number three, God may allow a storm to grab your attention. God may allow a storm to grab your attention. Okay, now, do you know why? What was the reason for the storm? Okay, well, he was being stubborn. right? And he wasn't going to do what God wanted him to do. So that's the thing, okay? Now, the boat, this is so cool. The boat that Jonah got into and went and paid money to get in this boat was total opposite direction, wrong direction, opposite direction that God wanted him to go. From Tarshish was where he went, where when God wanted him to go to Nineveh was 2,500 miles apart. All right, totally opposite. That's a Google thing, by the way. Google, how far is Nineveh from Tarshish? No, that one I actually looked up in a Bible commentary, but I bet you could do that. Don't open your phones. Stop it. Okay. So when Jonah gets in the boat, okay, and goes in the opposite direction, he's just saying, no, God, I'm not doing what you asked me to do. That's what that all meant. I'm not going to do what you want me to do. Now, God has to send a storm to grab his attention. God has to send a storm to grab his attention because he's going, hey, Jonah, this isn't what I want you to do. And he's paddling the wood, going this way. So he sends a storm. Okay, now, how many of you have had some storms in your life? How many have had circumstances and the stuff hit the fan, right? Storms. Okay, we all have had storms in our life. Okay, now, here's the difference between being in a storm when you're in the right place, when you're in the will of God, okay? There's a difference. When you're in the place God told you to go, do, be, whatever, okay? When you're in there and a storm hits, you're like, you're not going to lose it because you have this God confidence. God, you told me, I love to tell you, I have those conversations. God, you told me to go to do this. So I have this confidence and I'm not going to lose it in the storm. But if you're doing something that God has not told you to do, matter of fact, the opposite of God, what God's called you to do, you know what's going to happen in the storm? You're going to lose it. You're not going to have God confidence. You can't say, but God, you told me to go to York, Pennsylvania and look at the storm. And God said, no, baby, I didn't call you to York, Pennsylvania. I called you to Tulsa. It's really the other way around. Okay? So you're not going to be able to say, but God, you told me to do this. You're not going to have any confidence. So look at Jonah chapter 1, verse 9 and 12, 9 through 12. Here we go. This is Jonah, and he's talking to the guys that are going to throw him overboard. Okay? Make friends with the guys. All right, this is Jonah, and he answered, I'm a Hebrew. I worship the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land. This terrified those guys. This terrified them, and they asked, what have you done? They knew he was running away from God because he had already told them so. Verse 11, the sea was getting rougher. By the way, this is not like that little rain we had yesterday, right? It's a nice rain. My grass is getting greener. It has never looked so good. No, this is some crazy storm that's going on, right? Crazy, bad, really violent storm. Just so you know what's happening here, okay? The sea was getting rougher and rougher, so they asked, what should we do? What should we do to you to make the sea calm down for us? And Jonah says, pick me up and throw me into the sea and it'll become calm. Okay. Pick me up. Okay. Side thought, golden nuggets from Pastor D. Write this down. I don't care how young you are. I don't care how old you are. I don't care, but it's always good to own it. Own it. Okay. What do I mean by own it? You own up if you did something wrong. You own up if you did something wrong, okay? Jonah said, I love it. It's my fault. Okay, wouldn't you love it, guys, if you come home and your wife says, honey, you know, I did this. I'm sorry. Wouldn't you love it if your wife came home and owned it? Like, I just spent $1 million and I shouldn't have. Okay, the ladies are laughing. All right. Own it. Own it. Pick me up and throw me into the sea. Praise the Lord. And it will calm down because I know it's my fault. Own it. That this great storm has come upon us. I know it's my fault. That's owning it. Okay. How many make mistakes? Own it. Just own it. Man, just makes life better. Okay. Number four. Here we go. Number four. The fourth thing that we saw Jonah go through that sometimes we can go through. Sort of. Here we go. Jonah's nightmare was exactly what he needed. Number four. Jonah's nightmare was exactly what he needed. Jonah's nightmare was exactly what it needed. All right, verse 15, here we go. Then they took Jonah and threw him overboard into the raging sea. I lost my place. Then they took Jonah and threw him overboard, and the raging sea calmed, and at this, the men greatly feared the Lord, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows. But, okay, so we got Jonah that's being thrown over, but listen to this part here. Listen, it's never too late with God. That's looking bad. Guys, you're being chucked over the side of a boat in a horrific storm, right? But with God, it's never too late. It's never too late. He still has a plan for you. He still has a plan. And it doesn't matter if you messed up so bad like Jonah, there's a but there. It's never too late. Now, he gets thrown over, right? And he gets swallowed up by the fish whale, whatever you want to call it. What do you think the conversation was like inside of there? You ever think about that? These are the things I think about at night. Possibly. Oh, how about this? He picks up his cell phone and he goes, check an Instagram. Oh my gosh. Did you see the picture they posted? Oh my gosh. I don't think so. And I love when they have the movies. Have you seen all those movies about Noah where he gets he's swallowed up and he likes the match and he's looking around. He didn't go on Instagram and he's not looking around. Guys, that's not what happened. You know what happened? It's pitch dark in there and it's smelly in there and it's quiet in there. And you know what his conversation is? God. No, better yet, he's even smarter than we are. He's having this talk with God. And if that happened to you, you'd be having a talk with God. What would your talk be? God, forgive me. I'm sorry I didn't do what you asked, but now I'm going to do it, right? I'd be having that kind of conversation, okay? God, forgive me. And you might be running from God. And today is a really good day for you to say, God, forgive me. I've been running away from you, but God, I will do what you've asked me to do. I will do the things you've put in my heart. Don't you think that's a good day to do that? I do. All right. Look at Jonah chapter 2. I got to read 17 again. Now the Lord provided a huge fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. Chapter 2, verse 1. From inside the fish. Everybody say inside the fish. Okay. How many of you have ever caught a fish and gutted it? You didn't? Oh, yeah. All right. It stinks. Uh-huh. Especially the bigger they are. Right? What's that show, Monster? River monsters. I've only watched it once. Okay. And they gut open these things and you see all this stuff and it stinks. Okay. All right. Just wanted to say that. So he's inside the fish. All right. He's inside the fish. Praise God. He's inside the fish and he prayed to the Lord and he said, in my distress, I called to the Lord, and he answered me from deep in the realm of the dead. I called for help, and you listened to my cry. Jump over to verse 9. But I, with shouts of grateful praise, will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will make good. I will say, salvation comes from the Lord. Praise the Lord. Okay, salvation comes from the Lord. Okay, verse 10. And the Lord commanded the fish to vomit up Jonah onto dry land. Now, I don't know why they use the word vomit. You know, vomit. Now, I don't want to be gross, and I know how many of you are having lunch afterwards, but think about this. He's supposed to go preach, right? And he just got vomited up on dry land. He's probably got seaweed going on, I don't know, fish guts, who knows. And he stinks, and he probably looks a little scary. But you know what Jonah's doing? I'm ready to preach now. I'm ready to preach, right? Okay. Now look at, where am I? Check out chapter 3, verse 1, 2, and 3. Then the word of the Lord, hallelujah, came to Jonah. This is after he's been vomited up and he's laying on the side of the ocean here on the sand. Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Everybody say second time. And what is the first word now? Go! Go to the great city of Nineveh and proclaim to it the message I gave you. And Jonah obeyed. Wow. Jonah obeyed the word of the Lord, and he went to Nineveh. Okay, I don't care if you like living under grace or you like living under the Lord. The law, the Lord God Almighty still requires you to obey him. What do you mean obey him, Pastor D? I'm the mama. Okay, you read the word of God, and he starts speaking to you. Obey, right? You get quiet and he's talking to you. Obey. That's it. And Jonah obeyed the word of the Lord. Praise the Lord. So here's the thing about Jonah. Mr. Prophet. Sort of celebrity prophet back in Israel. Right? Over here, where is he now? He's in Nineveh. He's a nobody. Right? They don't know him. He's Mr. Celebrity. No, they don't know him. Okay? And he's just been vomited out of a fish, and he's walking into the city. Okay, now if that were me, I'd take a shower, I get clean clothes, and I have an appointment at the salon. No way I'm going out in that city, right? But look at Jonah. Look, Jonah is all smelly, and he's going to go preach now. He's going to go preach, okay? Now, back up. Why didn't Jonah want to obey God the first time? Why did Jonah get into the wrong boat and go the wrong place? Part of it, but it was even, you peel back, you know what it was? He didn't like the city, he didn't like the country, and he didn't like the people, okay? These were the Assyrians, the Ninevites. They were the enemy. You want to give the enemy the good news? He didn't want them to repent. And later on you read that they repented, they put sackcloth and ashes and they change. And he didn't want them. He was like, burn, baby, burn. That's why he didn't want to go. They're the enemy. I want them to die. Right? That's why he didn't obey God the first time. He didn't want them to change. Right? Praise the Lord. So I'm going to wrap up. Praise the Lord. Don't move your purses yet. Be still. Here we go. Guys, I just want to wrap up and say, I believe it's never too late with God. Everybody say that. It's never too late with God. Okay? God has never given up on you. He's never given up on me. He still has plans for your life. Right? Even if you were the one that royally blew it, and like even more than Jonah. And you think, oh my gosh, I did this, I messed up my life. I messed up our finances, we're gonna go bankrupt. I'm on my fifth marriage and it's messed up. I got just flunked out. I failed again. But God's like saying, hey, no matter what you've done, God never gives up on you. God's plan has still got a plan for your life. All right? So maybe you're here. Oh, okay. Turn over to Romans. Let me give you one more scripture and we'll wrap it up. I promise the last one. No, I don't. Yes, I do. This one. Last one. Hallelujah. Romans 11:29. God never gives up on you. Ready? Romans 11:29. This is out of the message, but you read it out of your Bible. Okay. Look at your Bible and read this. Okay. God's gifts and God's call are under full warranty. Don't you like buying machinery that's got full warranty? They don't do that too often, okay? God's gift and God's call are under full warranty, never canceled and never rescinded. Now, in context, this is Paul, and he's talking about the children of Israel and the call God had for them. But this still applies to us. So I'm going to read it again. God's gift and God's call for me are under full warranty, never canceled, never rescinded. So you know what that means? If God gives you a gift, if God gives you a call, if God gives you something to do, if God gives you anything, he's not going to take it back. He's not going to take it back. Okay? He's not going to take it up. Even if you had an affair, even if you went to jail, even if you messed up, God, and even if you have been sitting on it for 20 years and just squandered the things that God told you, God goes, wait. I'm not taking them back. They're still yours. The plan I have for you is still yours. The call I have for you is still yours. The things I've given to you are still yours, okay? The things I've given you to do. Now, unfortunately, people usually write you off after you mess up, right? Throw them under the bridge, right? But listen, God's going, hey, he's not done with you. He still has a call on your life. He still has plans for you, right? Okay? And all you have to do is re-engage. What do you mean re-engage, Pastor D? It's just take one little step. Just one little step. And this is how it should start. God, forgive me. God, forgive me. Right? God, forgive me. I'll do whatever you want. I will do your plan. That's re-engaging. And then God's going, good. Your plan's still there. And I still have more. Okay, so we're going to re-engage, get back there. So if God's speaking to you today and you're like, but Pastor D, I'm too old. But Pastor D, I'm too young. But Pastor D, you don't know what a mess I have. But Pastor D, I don't wanna. Okay, God's going, that's okay. That's okay. I have a plan for you. I still have plans for you. I still have calls for you. I still have things for you to do. Praise God. So, God, if you've messed up, sometimes we mess up, right? Sometimes we just don't wanna. It's not that you messed up, did the big, bad, and dirty, okay? You just don't wanna. I don't wanna. Are you kidding me? But sometimes we do that, and you know what? God's smiling. He's up there in heaven smiling down. He goes, that's okay. I still have your plan. I still have your call, and you just come on back. So how do you do that? Get quiet. Go for a drive in the country. Turn off all your electronics. Put your cell phone far, far away. Okay? And go, God, your word says that, God, you have calls and plans that are for my life. Sometimes people always go, well, what's my plan? I don't know what your plan is. I know my plan. Okay? And the only way you're going to know your plan is you got to get alone with God. God, what do you want me to do? And listen, some of those plans are seasonal. Some of my plans were for a season, and then I knew they were over, and then God was going to bring me to a different plan for a different season. The trick is, get in the right boat and go in the right direction. Don't get in the wrong boat and go in the wrong direction, all right? So I've seen different seasons in my life, and I always know when things change is coming. Oh, I hate change, I hate change, I hate change. And I start knowing it. I just start knowing it's just... How do I say? It just ain't no more fun. I can tell when the change is coming and God's starting to nudge me to the next thing. The place he has me for me is like, okay, D, I think it's wrap up time on that. But I have another plan for you. You're not going to sit on your duff forever. Okay. So I'll get alone with God and I'll say, God, what's the plan? And I love the New Year's Eve plans. I go start seeking God on New Year's Eve, going, you know, God, what's the plan for the year and stuff? Now I'm not talking about calls. I'm just talking about plans and stuff. Get quiet with God, guys. Just get quiet with God and go, God, what's the plan? What do you want me to do? And then you have this incredible thing called grace when you go, God, this is stinking uncomfortable. God, I don't know what I'm going to do to do it. He will give you his grace. His wisdom, spirit of wisdom. Now, somebody called me up, Warren Hunter. Pastor D, what do you want, a word of wisdom or the spirit of wisdom? The spirit of wisdom, man, is big and better and it's all the time. So I'll ask God, you know, God, how do I do this? And he starts leading me, leads me. So all this to say is, if you've been running, you know, I think it's time to pray. So everybody close your eyes, we're going to pray. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Father God, we just close your eyes. Don't nobody looking around because I'm going to ask you to raise your hand in a second. No peeking because Antonio's back there and he's going to squirt you with a water gun if he sees you peeking. Okay? Father God, in the name of Jesus, I pray for every person in this place, Father. No matter how bad we have messed up, no matter how much someone has run from you today, Father, I thank you that you will help them. You have a plan for them today. And if you're here today, it just raise your hand. I'm not looking, but you just need to raise your hand to heaven and say, God, I have run from you. I have done the wrong thing. I have been involved in things I just should not have. I've just been busy and stuff. And Father God, I know you've been pulling on my heart. And Lord, I just say, forgive me. I will walk your plan out. I will walk the call out. I will go where you want me to go today. In Jesus' name. And Lord, I just pray that you give everyone the first step. just refresh them on the first step. The first step to get them back on track. Because you never give up on us. Your plans are always available. They're for us. I thank you for your grace and mercy for those that have just been on the wrong boat. I thank you that they might know that grace and mercy and that you love them. You're still smiling down at them. You still have this plan for them. And Father, that they might know, and today would be the day that they turn and they just run full-hearted to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, eyes still closed. This is my favorite thing I do. If you're here today and you actually have run way in the other direction, and God's been pulling on your heart and saying, I am Father, and I have prepared a place for you, and you can come and be in my family, but it's only through my Son. If you're here today and you have run and you have just listened to all this and you're like, man, I think I've run in the wrong direction. And today I would like to ask, would you like this invitation to come into the Father's house, to receive all of his life, his blessings? It's real easy. You simply say, Jesus, I'm done running. I'm done running. I want to receive you into my life. You be the boss. You lay out your plans. I'm tired of my plans. So if there's anybody here today, would you just slip up your hand and just say, yep, that's me. I need you, Lord. I need you. I am plumb worn out. I need you, Jesus, to be Lord of my life. Lord of my life. Okay? I see that hand. Put your hand down. And any of you that just was like, you know, Lord, I have just been far, 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 far from you. And I did ask Jesus to be Lord of my life. But today, I'm going full steam towards you. If there's anyone that you've just, you know, we call it slid the wrong way. But if you're saying, you know, Lord, I'm ready to get back in the place. I want to pray for you. Pray for you. Praise the Lord. How about we all say this with that person that raised their hand? Father God, this day, I want to thank you for sending Jesus, your Son, to die on a cross for me. I believe he took all my sins, and I believe you raised him up. Jesus, I believe in you. Man. And with my heart and with my mouth, I ask you into my life, Jesus, be my Lord and Savior. Amen. Guess what? If you prayed that, hallelujah, you're a child of God. That's right. You're a child of God. You've got a place already prepared, and God's got plans for you. So praise the Lord. Praise